Please join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from the Old Testament, Book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. If you would like to read along, please turn to page 585 in your new Pew Bible. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fires, you shall not burn, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. I do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offsprings from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will not say to the north, give them up, and the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created from my lair, whom I formed and made. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
One of the reasons we put that part of our service earlier was so that our little ones could participate also. And now is another moment for our little ones. I invite all the children to come forward who are here in the sanctuary and join us up here. And if you're worshiping from home, come a little closer to your screens. And we will have just a minute together. Come on up. We have some different things up front today, don't we? Lots of blue to remind us about the water of baptism. Come on up. So glad to see all of you. I hope some of you made a snow person.
I made a snowman.
Good, yeah. We made some snow cream. Wonderful. Lots of snow people out there. It's beautiful. Well, today we are talking about baptism, and I know some of you are baptized because I got to do your baptisms. Some of you may not be baptized yet, and that's okay too. But one of the things that we believe about baptism, it's a reminder that God loves us. It's like the mark of God's love on us that will never, ever go away. Be just a second and I'll talk with you, okay? And that it's permanent, that God's love will always be with us. There's nothing that will ever take God's love away from us. And this morning, as I was in my office and I was putting my robe on, I saw this stole that was made before you all were born, probably. When I first came to this church, it was 7.5 years ago, and the children of the church made this for me and put their handprints on it. So some of the children who made this are teenagers now. Some of them may even be in college. I bet some of them are here today. But they put their handprints on there, and they're permanent. They stayed on here. And they did that to make me feel welcomed. And to tell me that even though we were just getting to know each other, that they loved me already. And so when I wear this stole, I remember that I am loved by the people of this congregation. And that's kind of what baptism is like too. So every time we have a baptism here in church or we talk about baptism, remember that means God loves you and always will. And that will never, ever, ever change. Let's pray together. Gracious God, I thank you so much for this beautiful, colorful stole that the children of this congregation made for me. Remind me that I'm loved. We thank you so much for the waters of baptism that tell all of us we are loved by you and that that will never, ever change. Thank you for your permanent and forever love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds and kindergartners can go with Pastor Maggie to Children's Church. Thank you so much for taking part in that first part with the ribbons. That was cool. So, when I look back on the year 2024, I realize we've spent a lot of time at this font. Did you know that as a congregation, in 2024, we have celebrated the sacrament of baptism 34 times? That's almost 3 times a month. There is someone being baptized into the faith, into the family of God in our midst. One of those baptisms, thanks be to God, was an adult who visited our church and in the experience of worship had an experience of God's grace like she had never had before. And she decided to be baptized and to become a follower of Jesus. That's part of our faith story together. The other baptisms were all little ones, most of them under the age of 1, who had to be held as they were baptized. Which, you know, darn the luck. I've got to hold a baby 34 times in a year. But one of my favorite parts of the baptism, and you know it, is when I walk down these steps and I've got that baby in my arms and I come out into your midst and I invite you, you can stay seated now, but I invite you to stand and to say with me our vows as the people of God. To make our promise to love this child, to teach them about the love of God, to teach them what it looks like to follow Jesus, and to help them know what I was just telling those children a minute ago, that God's love will never, ever, ever, ever leave them. Now, I wish you could see what I get to see when I do that. And I know that some of you who worship online get a really good zoom-in shot when we do a baptism and I bring the child out here. But I get to see your faces, of those of you who are in the sanctuary, and I get to see the love and delight you have for this little child, probably one you've not met before, and yet you already love them. It's amazing to see that love and delight. And it's like I'm standing in the middle of the River Jordan, right here. As if right down the center aisle of our church flow the waters of baptism. The living water that is the Spirit of Christ, and it never stops flowing. And I get to bring the child into the middle of the river, and all of you are standing around with your toes in the water. And we declare God's belovedness for this child. This morning, we are celebrating and remembering the baptism of Jesus. We didn't hear that story in the scripture reading because we're in Luke's gospel, and Luke's version of the story is very short. In fact, he doesn't actually describe the baptism at all. He simply says, after Jesus was baptized and was praying, then a voice spoke to him, and the voice said to him, you are my son, the beloved. In you, I am well pleased. And we believe and we claim in our United Methodist tradition that that same voice speaks to us at our baptism, saying our name and claiming us as beloved. Now, that is so easy to believe and to see when there's a baby in the middle of the church. When you look at that innocent, perfect little child who hasn't learned how to say no yet, who hasn't started getting into the spice cabinet and dumping everything's everywhere, speaking from experience there, this beautiful, innocent child, of course God loves this baby. Of course, this child is a beloved child of God. But do we believe that that same voice speaks to us? Maybe the voice spoke at our baptism when we were that little, if we were baptized as children. But I don't know about now. I mean, I've been around a long time, and I've wandered from the ways of God so many times. I've caused so much hurt. I have sinned in so many different ways. I'm so broken in so many different ways. Surely God's love for me has dimmed, if not disappeared. Surely God doesn't look upon me and say those words, the words that I think are so beautifully expressed by the prophet Isaiah, which we heard this morning. I have called you by name. You are mine. You are precious in my sight and honored. And I love you. Surely that voice doesn't still speak to me after all these years and all this path that I've taken. But there's something about the waters of baptism. There's something about this sacrament that is not just once when we're innocent and perfect and pure. It is ongoing. It is eternal. It never washes off. One of the things we say in the ritual of baptism as we pray for the Holy Spirit upon the water is a phrase that has troubled lots of folks. I've had some of you come and talk to me about this. We say, pour out your Holy Spirit on this gift of water and this child who receives it to wash away sin and clothe them in righteousness. And I've had people say to me, wash away sin? This baby doesn't have sin. It hasn't done anything to sin yet. Why do we have to say that about a child? That's a whole deep theological conversation we can have in another setting when we've got a little more time. But one of the things that has helped me embrace this liturgy is to flip some of the phrases around. Pour out your Holy Spirit on this gift of water and on this person who receives it, so that throughout their life, these waters of baptism may continually again and again wash away sin, carry away the brokenness, shine up the image of God within this person, continue that sanctifying work, and that again and again throughout their lives they may be clothed in righteousness. It's an ongoing journey that we're on. And the voice of God that named you and claimed you at your baptism is continually naming and claiming you each and every day. And so part of our response is to again and again gather at the river, to come to the river, to touch the flowing waters of baptism again and again and again, so that we might hear again and again and again that voice saying, you are mine. I have called you by name. You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Can you hear that voice? Because there's so many other voices. I don't know about you, but there are so many other voices clamoring for our attention, clamoring to tell us who we are and whose we are and how much we matter in the world. I've got one in my head. There are those internal voices, that inner judge, that inner critic, that's just constantly telling you you're not good enough, you're not doing it right, you're going to mess up, you're going to fail, you're not worthy. And then there are all those external voices constantly telling us you don't have enough, you're not thin enough, you're not smart enough, your house is, you don't even have a house, what's wrong with you, you don't have a car, what's wrong with you, you need this item, you need this procedure, you need this to be good and worthy. I don't go on Facebook much anymore. except every now and then to find out how y'all are doing. But when I go on there, I get these ads, because I'm a 56-year-old woman, and apparently I need intermittent fasting and wrinkle cream and a little cosmetic surgery, and I'm in danger of having gluteal tendinopathy, whatever that is. But just constant reminders, like, you're not okay the way you are. We can help you get there to who you ought to be. How many voices are telling us that all day long? Billboards, ads, Facebook, it's all around us all the time. Sometimes the people we surround ourselves with are critical and judging and telling us we're not worthy. So how do we, as the people of God, continue to hear the flowing waters of baptism flowing right down the center of our lives? How do we continue to tune in to the one voice above all other voices, reminding us every day that we are loved, that we are delightful to God, that we are worthy, that we are named and claimed, and that nothing or no one will ever take that away? That's why I need the church. That's why I need y'all. I need people that I can be with who will help see the image of God in me. I need to worship God on a regular basis. I need to be reading the scriptures and saying my prayers. Jesus heard this voice while he was praying, and the waters of baptism were still dripping down his head. All of those practices of the faith, we do them not to make ourselves worthy to God, but so that God's voice can get through all the other clamor and clatter of the world to claim us once again. Shall we gather at the river, my friends? It's flowing right through the middle of who we are. And there's a voice that is saying to you and to me and to all of us, I have called you by name. You are mine. When you walk through the waters, I will be with you. And through the fires, they will not consume you. For you are precious in my sight and honored. And I love you.